For many people, God is absent, too distant to be of any significance in daily life. But that is not the God that we discover as we read our Bibles, is it? The Lord is a God who speaks. The Lord speaks. Francis Schaeffer has a number of rather hard to read books, but he's always worth giving a go. And one of his titles is, He is there and is not silent. Our God is a communicating God, a speaking God. The pagan gods are dumb idols. There's a great passage in Jeremiah chapter 10. Let me read it to you, and you can smile, because I believe this is intended. And you may want to laugh, and you can do so. Hear what the Lord says to you, the people of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations, or be terrified by signs in heavens, though the nations are terrified by them. For the practice of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest. A craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. Our God is a God who speaks and a God who does good. God has told us who He is. He not only exists, but He communicates. He is the speaking God. But the Lord's people at the time of Eli and Samuel were in a bad way. The Lord's people were not a listening people to the God who speaks. Eli was a judge in Israel, and he and his sons are about to be judged because of known and unrepented sins. His sons were worthless priests, scoundrels. They were a disgrace to Israel and to the Lord. They stole from the offerings that were brought by the people. They took not their share, but the Lord's share and the people's share. And they slept with the women that served at the temple, at the tabernacle. They were scoundrels. They were godless. And God had warned, and Eli had not acted. The boy, Samuel, a boy, was sent to restore the worship, the word, and the rule of the Lord. Can you imagine it? A 4 or 5 year old boy being sent along to lead the people back to God. He becomes priest and prophet to the speaking God. Now this Lord who speaks, sends Samuel to restore the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, did you notice it said in the first verse, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was rare and it was treasured by very few. There are objects, aren't there, who are valuable because there are only very few made. Fabergé eggs. If you've got one. They look pretty in the photographs, and occasionally one turns up on the Antiques Roadshow or something like that. And they look lovely, but there were very few made and they've held their value. And there are other things that are rare because they were common and everyday things. In the early 20th century, posters promoting new films were mass-produced and sent to theatres all around the country. Particularly in America. But most of these posters, though they were mass-produced and common, were discarded, making the originals very scarce and in demand amongst collectors. There is a poster promoting Fritz Lang's 1927 film Metropolis. Very Art Deco kind of poster that was sold at auction. How much do you think? Too much. That's exactly true. $1.2 million for a poster. Isn't that staggering? Because they were thrown away. It was rare. The word of the Lord is valuable and well known and widespread amongst God's people. God didn't just reveal himself to a select few, but he called prophets to tell the people, and the word was commonly known amongst them and yet disobeyed. It is a sign of the loss of favour of God's people with him. You know, when relationships break down, when we have an argument, I don't know, do you have an argument? I don't know, you may be really very saintly people, but sometimes you have an argument and you just cannot talk to each other. You just daren't open your mouth. You're only going to make it worse. And sometimes we just can't even look at each other, can we? We can't. We know we've really put our foot in it. Even men notice that. But when a relationship breaks down, we don't talk. And this relationship between God and his people had broken down, and he was no longer talking to them. There was no new word. And they didn't take the hint. When you're not talking, it's time to make up, isn't it? But they didn't take the hint. And they found themselves adrift from God with a religion that was just hollow, just form. Sin drives the Lord from us, and our relationship gets broken. The prophet Amos says in Amos 8, verse 11, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." And that was the situation that Eli and Samuel faced. The word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. There was a bit of a misused proverb. Proverbs 28:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint." But if you're as old as me and older, you will know what it says in the AV. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But it means a word from the Lord. It isn't the fact that your pastor is without any vision for the future and he isn't leading you in the right way. It's about that the Lord's word is no longer coming to the Lord's people. And when that happens, The Lord's people seem to be the worst of sinners. You know, in the past we've given Bibles out when children, I don't quite know why there is a certain time at Somersham, but with children after they've been to so many weeks of Wednesday Club, they were given a Bible. I don't know why they didn't give them a Bible straight away, whether they came back or not. I'd have to revisit that, but it's too late now, isn't it? But once a parent brought the Bible back and said, this isn't age-appropriate material, and let's be honest, there are lots of sections of the Bible that are not age-appropriate material for children, because God's people are have fallen away from him, and they are engaged in sin that makes the godless shudder. When the Lord's word is rare, God's people wander far from him. But in mercy, because God loves even his wayward people, in mercy the Lord calls Samuel. He is serving at the tabernacle. It's called the Lord's house, but we use the term loosely, don't we? Going to the Lord's house today, we might say, but it doesn't mean that it's a building. And by this time, it is the tabernacle that is at Shiloh. He's serving at the tabernacle. The lamp is lit in the evening. From the evening to the morning, it's a reassurance. It's like the light is on and God is home. When I go back tonight, I'll be glad turning into church close to see the lights on in our house, because I'll know that Carolyn got home safely and there'll be lasagna waiting for me. And that'll be really good. So I'll know that Carolyn is at home. And when the lamp was lit in the tabernacle, we knew that the Lord was home, dwelling amongst his people. It's a real comfort, a reassurance. And that light from that lamp shone upon 12 loaves of bread, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord's light shone upon his people. The Lord has a great love for his people and will not let them go, though we wander and struggle against him time and time again. The Lord loves and still wants his wayward people. Now, sometimes when we say, the Lord spoke to me, we use it really in a sense of there was an internal sense of the Lord speaking to us in a subjective way. We have a guy, an American, he came over to the UK and he stopped at the Baptist chapel because his mum worshipped with us and she died, and he came to deal with the funeral and sort that out, and he'd been to chapel years ago in the States, and he said later on to me, he said, I came along that Sunday, and the Lord spoke to me. And he went back to the States, and to cut a long story short, he ends up in a little Baptist church around the corner from where he lives. And he said, I went into that place, and the first time I sat down, and I listened, and the Lord spoke to me again. And I knew I'd got to do something about it. God is speaking to me. But that was, he heard the word preached, and he felt and recognized that God was speaking to him from the word as the word was preached at both places. And Mike became a Christian. But here, this voice isn't the word of God coming to him by somebody preaching to him or sharing it that way, or knowing that God is speaking as you read the word yourself. But this was an audible voice speaking and calling Samuel. It was objective and external speech, so external that Samuel mistook it once and again for Eli's voice. But Samuel was in a rather strange position, serving the Lord but not knowing the Lord. Perhaps it's a position that you have found yourself in, not knowing the God that you serve. Listen to these words. Verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." It had not gripped his heart. He had not been brought to repent and turn and trust God himself and to know God as his Saviour. That had not happened to Samuel. He was doing his duty. He was fulfilling the promise of Hannah, his mother, under the direction of Eli. And this is just reinforced in the way he replies to the Lord on the third time. Look at verses 8 to 10. "The third time the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and he got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."'" Lord is God's personal name. It's the name that he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, speak, for your servant is listening." He does not yet know the Lord, but he will do by the end of this night. There is a... Now, did you notice also, it said the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times. There is a person in the Old Testament that appears and speaks as the Lord. These are appearances of God the Son before he fully takes human body and is born of Mary. The Lord appears many times to his people in the Old Testament. It is our Saviour. It is the Son of God coming and meeting with his people, longing to be present and bringing them back to himself. And Samuel is called to be a prophet. Listen to this. This is what it says in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, in Numbers chapter 12, at verse 6. "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And then we hear something else about the prophet. A prophet like Moses. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 14 onwards, "A prophet like Moses, that you must listen to him." And it is Jesus that fills Moses' sandals. Listen to the conclusion to Deuteronomy, at Deuteronomy 34. Verse 10, "Since then no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Samuel is called to be a prophet, to share the word of the Lord. But there is a greater prophet, one like Moses, but who eclipses Moses. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the speaking God who has come amongst us and left his word with us. And Jesus does not just speak the words of God and do the works and power of God, but he is the word of God. John tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus is God's word to us. When we hear God, he has the same accent as Jesus. We are hearing God speak as Jesus speaks to us, as we read his word, as we study. Listen to these words that the writer to the Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Prophets like Samuel. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus is our prophet. We must listen to him. We must seek to establish, re-establish even, our relationship with God based upon what Jesus has said to us. We have in the New Testament the word of God recorded for us that flows out of the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be people who seek to ensure that the word of God is restored in our lives and restored in our churches. But this is a sad passage in 1 Samuel 3, isn't it? There needs to be a response to the word of the Lord, this God who speaks. There is a word for Samuel which is a terrible word of judgment. A word that Samuel faithfully repeats to Eli. God's word demands of us that we are faithful to it, both in warning of the word of God for us and bringing hope from the word of God to us. These sons of Eli treated the Lord with contempt. They robbed God of the offerings. The very forgiveness that they were in need of was dependent upon sacrifice for their sin. And they were bringing disrespect. They were disrespecting God's sacrifice for them. Their forgiveness was based upon the offerings they despised. And that is a lesson for us, isn't it? The cross of Christ is our only hope. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Jewish failure to recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God, as the Messiah, has excluded them from his present blessings. And Gentiles have treated the cross of Christ with as foolishness. We too treat the Lord with contempt. A crucified Saviour is the last thing the man in the world wants, but he is the only thing the man in the world needs. And if we dismiss the cross, then we too, like Eli's sons, treat the Lord with contempt. Eli sadly recognized the Lord's goodness instead of acting upon it, really. He realized that God was being just in what message Samuel brought to him. His sons would be lost. He would die. It would be hard to find an ancestor of Eli's family in the priesthood, and they would come and plead for a place so that they might have a piece of bread to eat. William Blakely is quoted as saying that Eli was memorable for the passive virtues. He could bear much, though he could dare little. There's a word of judgment that comes from God, but there is also a word of hope. Samuel becomes the mouthpiece of the Lord to Israel. Look at verse 19. He let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. No fallen words. Isn't that amazing? I reckon Samuel would have been good at darts. A 180 every time. No fallen darts. Mine bounce off. But not with Samuel's words. God's word found their home. It could take some time before Israel were brought to Mizpah to cry and seek the Lord. But it was Samuel's ministry that had given them hope and renewed their understanding of God's covenant. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. The word of God. God's word to us is one of judgment and of hope, of salvation in Christ, isn't it? Here in Samuel, we see that worship was restored by a faithful priest, and the word of God was heard again by a faithful prophet. But Samuel is just a precursor to Jesus, who has perfectly restored our worship. He is our great high priest. He has fully restored the Lord's word. Words of judgment and of hope. The Lord speaks. He is not silent. The Lord reveals himself to sinful man. He has a loving purpose in salvation. And into this salvation, the saved are called to serve, to make sure that the word of God, that word of judgment and of hope, is heard by all who will listen. The Lord speaks. Do not ignore his sweet invitation to accept Jesus as your Saviour. Because if that invitation is declined, you will be with Eli's sons without atonement for your sin and bearing your own guilt. Amen.